I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We promise you that this will not be low energy Catholic radio. Not at all. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're not right versus left. We are right versus wrong, and I am on duty. Terry, what about you?
Yes, I'm on duty, brother, and this is going to be another interesting show. I want to remind everybody, yesterday's show with Father Costco, you want to repeat to listen to that by going to our podcast. And also, I want to remind people, the lockout on YouTube episodes, we all put them on Rumble. So if you want to know what you missed, go to the Rumble for Virgin Most Powerful. You can get all the lockout videos that we did on the shows. And we'll be back on YouTube on Monday. And I thank you for being patient with that. Today's topic, we got Father Chad Ripperger always doing well with the issue on spiritual warfare and communism. But then just yesterday, we wanted to get to something with Dennis Prager regarding the denial of evil, the case for communism. Very good article. Very, very good. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the COVID vaccine. Can you be forced to take it? And what are your legal rights on that, in the sense of a good article on that topic? Also, Jess, good news. The Roe versus Wade movie premieres last weekend at CPAC. And that's going to be a good movie to try and persuade people about the issue of abortion and the sanctity of life. We've got some good news stories coming, but you know what the best news is and the good news of Jesus Christ? The Bible. And every day here on Virgin Most Powerful, we'll read you to you a section from the Sunday Mass. So, Jess, could you share the good news with us?
Absolutely. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And here's what I call the Bible. It's a good acronym. Bible, basic instruction before leaving Earth. That's about the only book that's going to be relevant when you drop dead.
Yeah, really.
Okay, I want to read the first reading and the psalm today because it's very powerful. A lot of people wonder, if I commit just one mortal sin, just one, can I go to hell? What about all the good deeds I've done in the past? All the good deeds. Is it wiped out with just one mortal sin, unconfessed and unrepentant? The answer is yes. Look what Ezekiel says today. And then we'll also look at the responsorial psalm. This is what it means to convert. It explains what conversion is. So, first reading. Thus says the Lord God.
That was my phone. I thought I shut that off.
That's always Terry's.
Yeah, exactly.
Thus says the Lord God, if the wicked man turns away from all sins he committed,
yep.
If he keeps all my statutes and does what is right and just, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the crimes he committed shall be remembered against him. He shall live because of the virtue he has practiced. Do I indeed derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked, says the Lord? Do I not rather rejoice when he turns from his evil way that he may live? That's what Father was talking about yesterday, about Joe Biden, if he ever converts. I mean, God would rejoice more if he turned from his evil ways. Then it says here it answers the question, if all your good deeds in the past can be wiped out by one unconfessed, unrepentant, mortal sin. It answers it here in verse 24. And if the virtuous man turns from the path of virtue to do evil, the same kind of abominable things that the wicked man does, can he do this and still live? None of his virtuous deeds shall be remembered. Other translations say, none of your good works shall be remembered. Why? Because he has broken faith and committed sin. Because of this, he shall die. In other words, when you're in a state of mortal sin, all your good works in the past, anything you've done good for God, is wiped out. Then it says, you say the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel. Is it not my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committeth that he must die. But if the wicked, turning from the wickedness he has committed, does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all sins that he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
See, the Catholic Church has a proper understanding of salvation because the body and the soul, they're not separate, they're united. So what you do in the body can offend God in your soul. Protestants, the once saved, always saved camp, they say, no, 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 the body and the soul are separate. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior 40 years ago at a Billy Graham crusade. And what you do with your body after that is irrelevant. Not so. Ezekiel gives you the theology of the body. You can be in a state of grace, what the Old Testament calls a virtuous man, and what you do with your body, offenses with your body, like 6th and 9th commandment, for example, you could do those sins and not repent and confess and have a firm purpose and amendment, and guess what? You wiped out everything you've done with your soul for all your life. It's gone. It's not remembered because the body and the soul are one composite unit. If you accept Christ in your heart, but you keep offending God with your body for the rest of your life, you make null and void what you said in that sinner's prayer at a Billy Graham crusade 40 years ago. Psalm 130, today's psalm says, this is it right here. If you want to know what conversion is, this is it. And every Catholic has to go through what we call the Psalm 130 moment in your life, or you haven't experienced it. I like the way it says it in Latin, De Profundis. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, who can stand? Here it is. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. Guess what? That's what the church takes us through in the liturgy in the penitential prayer. Okay? I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my... That whole prayer, it's a Psalm 130 moment. God is calling us, and then we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, we beat our breasts. The church in the Mass, it's already built in to take us in liturgy to the De Profundis Psalm 130 moment, what today's psalm is, the cry out of the depths of our heart, begging God to have mercy on us. And then now, for some people that would say, again, once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. Look at the next paragraph of today's Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. In other words, if God would take a sheet of paper and put hash marks every time we offended God, all of us would get an F and we'd all be going to hell. That's what the psalmist is pleading for. He's not pleading for God's justice, because in strict justice, we're all dead. So that's why he says, if you, O Lord, mark iniquities, mark our sins in a sheet of paper, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. I trust in the Lord. That's what St. Faustina, we've been here since 1931. My soul trusts in his word. My soul waits for the Lord more than sentinel waits for the dawn. Let Israel wait for the Lord. If you want to know what the whole Bible is all about, is this. The Bible reveals that God is our Father who keeps his promises, and God can be trusted. Terry?
Well said, Justin. You know, like you said, one mortal sin can send us to hell at our exit interview. But on the other hand, here's the other good news. If you remember, Father Murr was on last Friday, and we talked a little bit about his friend, the general during the revolution in Mexico, who killed priests and killed lots of innocent people. And he had 12 children from a woman that he never married. He just took her. And they were praying for his conversion as he was dying in a hospital. And Father Charles Murr was able to baptize that man in the hospital and evangelize him, get his marriage blessed, confirm him. All the sacraments were given to this man. And all I could say, Jess, is, those 12 kids that had been praying for their dad all of their life saw the fruit of it. Within 15 minutes before he died, that's when they performed the wedding. So he finally got married to his bride after 60-some years, and that man went straight to heaven.
Unbelievable.
It's phenomenal, Jess.
I can't even wrap my mind around that.
I hear you, brother.
And that's why it's important for people that know their faith and live lives in a state of grace, it's important for us to make prayers of reparation and penance for other people that don't know God. Why? Again, another story just like that, Terry.
Yeah, tell me.
St. Teresa of Lisieux, the doctor of the church. There was a man that was on death row, and apparently they'd been sending him priests, and he was, get away from me, I don't, I mean, this guy was just growling and scowling. St. Teresa found out about it. She started making prayers of reparation and penance. And so the man that was on death row, they brought him out of his cell. They're ready to execute him. I guess they used the guillotine back then.
That's right.
Chop the head off.
Yep.
Right before they're walking him over there, all of a sudden he asked to see a priest, made a confession, and died with forgiveness of sins, probably received the apostolic pardon and went straight to heaven. Why? Because St. Teresa of Lisieux made prayers of reparation for him and penance for a man that she didn't know that well.
Well, that's a powerful story, Jesse. And remember, Our Lady said that at Fatima, souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. Every prayer, every sacrifice we make has value, eternal value, for the salvation of souls. When we come back, Jess, from our break, we're going to get Father Chad Ripperger to come in. I won't forget about the quote from Fulton Sheen a little later. You won't want to hear it, won't want to miss it on prayer. And you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Again, our lockout videos from YouTube will be available on Rumble. So if you want to go watch those, you can do that. And again, when we come back, we got so much more talking about communism and spiritual warfare. One of my favorite articles was Dennis Prager's article, and you'll want to hear about this, the denial of evil. And then he says, it's a case of communism. Wait till you hear the statistics on this. Young people need to hear this, Jess. When we come back, we'll share more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Well, we're entering into a time right now of socialism.
Yep.
And we're seeing it right now coming from the White House. Socialism is a code word for communism. We want you to hear a clip from Father Chad Ripperger. He talks about, again, the similarities between demons and communists and the way both of them seek honor. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Human respect is a vice in which people overvalue or estimate others' opinion or view that others have of them. In other words, human respect is when a person will very often do certain things out of excess because they tend to want to have people think better of them, or they want them to view them in a good way, and so they'll do things or overvalue what the other person thinks. St. Thomas Aquinas discusses in his various tracts what he calls sinners. Now, sinners are people who have committed mortal sin and are not in the state of grace. And he makes the observation that sinners are far more worried about the exterior man than the interior man. What does that mean? It means that they're more worried about their appearance, their physical appearance, how they look, things of that sort, how they're viewed by other people, than they are their actual spiritual state or well-being. And as a result, he says, sinners suffer from human respect. Demons in session demonstrate the psychology of sinners in that regard to a T. They're very sensitive about wanting to be perceived as good or justified in what they did or okay or whatever the case is, when in point in fact they're just evil, right? And but they're more worried about what other people think of them than their own evil in many instances. You'll see this when they're going to get defeated. They're more worried about the way they're going to be perceived in hell and the ridicule and everything they're going to go through in hell than they actually are the brutal beating they're going through in the sessions. All the while, they're seeking honor. The reason they want to possess people is because they want honor. What's honor? Honor is the praise for excellence. What's excellence? That is, excellence ultimately is in virtue for human beings, in doing the right, in having innocence of will and things of that sort. That's where excellence is. And so for them, They want the honor without the excellence. Glory is the manifestation of that excellence. And so they want a certain glory, but the excellence that they're only worried about is power. They're not interested in actually being good or actually being understood in their true nature. They just simply want to be perceived as powerful. And so possession for them is a matter of honor. Demons are entitled to no honor or glory because of the fact that they have no excellence. Communists are very similar in that regard. They cause tremendous damage and do more harm to the common good, and yet they are concerned about how people view them. They're literally behind the scenes doing maximum damage. They maximize the damage within their ability to do so, but at the same time, they expect prestige in the eyes of other people and in the public and by the news media. They do not learn from their mistakes, but simply move to some other thing where they can cause more damage. That is, they don't change themselves for the better. So a sinner is only really trying to groom his perception, people's perception of him. And that's what these people are. They're more worried about people's perception of them than they actually are, because the perception, of course, is a means to power. But they're more concerned about that than they are whether they're actually being good people or not. And so in the end, they don't change themselves for the better, but only seek to impose their will in regard to the revolution. Nevertheless, they spend extraordinary amounts of energy controlling the propaganda machine and public news outlets in order to make sure that their image is perfect and upright. Because they do not seek excellence nor engender excellence either in themselves or others or in society, they are due no honor. Just like demons, communists are not honorable people.
If you take the word communist, every single time Father Chad Ripperger is giving these teachings on these 47 little five-minute talks on communism and demons, every time he uses the word communist, just think Democrat, and it all makes sense. Because that's a dog whistle, okay? He's seen how astute you are. Look what he says here. And when I think about this, I'm just thinking about the current administration in the White House right now. Okay? Look what he says. Communists are very similar in this regard. I could say Democrats are very similar in this regard. They do more damage to the common good. Yet they, I'm going to use Democrat. Every time Father Ripperger says communist, I'm going to use Democrat. And you're going to see how, you're going to say, wow, he's right. This is exactly what he's telling us. He's dog-whistling us. He says, yet they, Democrats, are concerned with how people view them. They're literally behind the scenes, who, Democrats, doing maximum damage. Democrats maximize the damage within their ability to do so. But at the same time, they expect prestige in the eyes of the other people, the public, and by the news media. They do not learn from their mistakes, but they simply move on to some other thing where they can do more damage. They don't change themselves for the better. They're more concerned about the perception because it gives them power. In the end, they expend an enormous amount of energy controlling the propaganda machine and news outlets in order to make sure their images are perfect and upright. Wow, sounds like the mainstream media every single night talking about extolling about the virtues of liberalism, how great liberal and progressive this administration is, and the way it's taking the country in a better direction. Then Father says, just like demons, communists are not honorable people. Again, as you listen to these five-minute sound bites, Father keeps using the word communist. In your mind, just think of the word Democrat right now. What's happening in our country, it's all going to make sense because he's describing the way evil people's behavior is parallel to that of demons. Terry?
The only thing I'd add to that, Jesse, is I'll use the word a bully. And what I mean by a bully, this is exactly how a bully operates. And if you think about liberalism right now, look at the media right now, how they're pushing us out. If we don't have their narrative, they say, you're not going to go on the air. And I look at that as a bully. A communist, yes, but also a bully, because they have the power to pull the plug on us, and they will do that. And all we have to do is continue to pray and fight and stand for the truth and not compromise. So Father is really educating us on the times we're living in at this moment, Jess.
Yeah. In case you're wondering what communism is, let me give you a definition. And you're right, Terry. Communists and Marxists and
bullies.
They're all bullies, okay?
Yeah.
They're bullies or tyrants. They like to harass, steal, and kill as well. They have a philosophy of hate.
So
what's a communist or communism? It's a social system in which all property is owned by the group or community instead of individuals. It abolishes private property and political government. So what's socialism? It's communism light. It's the collective ownership and management of the material agencies of production. Socialism puts an emphasis on common production and the redistribution of wealth. Yep. And so what's Marxism? Marxism was given, it's a philosophy given to us by Karl Marx, where he teaches class conflict, class warfare, within an economic viewpoint in order to transform society and in order also to bring chaos into society as well. Now, socialism only varies from communism in degrees, but it's a stepping stone to communism. And the church, or the Catholic Church, has condemned communism
so many times
through magisterial teachings. And Father's 47 five-minute videos, what he's saying is that the psychology behind communism is the same as the psychology behind demons. That's what he's saying, Terry.
Well said. I want to bring some good news story in today, and then we'll get Filton Sheen in. The South Dakota doctors must now protect babies born alive after a failed abortion. We're constantly trying to defend life right now. These new laws require the doctors to basically offer the babies born alive after a failed abortion the same medical care that they would offer to any other child. You know, it seems shocking that we have to make these laws when it's so obvious that that sacredness of life. Also, good news, Jess, Roe versus Wade movies finally premiered this past weekend on CPAC. What's interesting, Jesse, Twitter decided not to let this get out at first until there was a bunch of complaints. But again, we have a battle on our hands. It's life and death. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to go see this movie. Father Frank Pavone, he said that this is a very true to life showing the real story behind the legalization of abortion. He said, I knew Norma McVermey and also Dr. Bernard Nathanson and others personally. And you know what, Jesse? I don't know if you heard who's portraying. This is pretty cool, man. The man that's going to portray, let's check this out. I just want to get it real quick. Award-winning winner, veteran actor John Voight, who's very conservative, stars as the Supreme Court Justice Warren E. Burger. I want to see that movie, but we have to continue to beat the drum on pro-life. Well, let's bring the smartest guy into the room before we break full scene ahead. Here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. It's Friday, a day of penance, right? So, and prayer. And as a matter of fact, we're going to have a holy hour right after the Bible with the Barbers at the chapel. And then we'll have a 1 p.m. holy hour, 2 p.m. mass, and then another hour of Thanksgiving. So you're welcome to join us if you're in the area. Here's what he said about prayer. Filton Sheen says, all we need to do is voice these two petitions. Dear Lord, illumine my intellect to see the truth, and give me the strength to follow it. It is a prayer that is always answered. It makes no difference whether desire for God we voice has come from our disgust or despair, or whether it was born out of a love of beautiful, the perfect. So I would love to have President Biden pray that prayer, because it says, Dear Lord, illumine my intellect to see the truth. Right now, I'm assuming he's ignorant. I hope he's ignorant. But I want to educate him with charity and tell him, knock it off. You're promoting the killing of innocent life. When you have your exit interview, it ain't going to go pretty for you. So out of love for our future, our president right now, and those Pelosi and all those Catholic in name that are promoting the culture of death, repent and believe in the gospel.
Terry, also another bit of good news. I want to give kudos to Senator Rand Paul.
Oh, he was great.
He confronted Joe Biden's pick for the HHS. Dr. Rachel Levin is a man who claims to be a woman.
Right.
And he's picked him to be his HHS secretary, and Rand Paul was grilling him.
Good.
And asking him questions. He was saying that we should be outraged that you believe, Dr. Rachel Levin, that somebody talking to a three-year-old about changing their sex is normal.
Yeah, well said. We come back. The Denial of Evil, a beautiful article. The case of communism by Dennis Prager. Wait till you hear the statistics on the bad fruit of communism and socialism. Brutal. We'll be back with more on the Perry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
What world are we living in? I'm looking at the picture right now of Dr. Rachel Levin, who's a man and claims to be a woman.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden has picked him, who thinks it's a her, to be the HHS secretary. Well, let's go to Dennis Prager's article, The Denial of Evil. The Case of Communism. It's one of the most highly regarded books of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. The author, Ernest Becker. It's called The Denial of Death. It's a winner of the 1974 Pulitzer Prize. And this book is regarded as a classic for its analysis of how human beings deny their mortality. Mm. But there's something people deny more than mortality. They deny evil.
Yeah.
Dennis Prager says somebody should write a book on the denial of evil. That would be much more important because while we cannot prevent death, we can prevent evil. And so the most glaring example of the denial of evil is communism. This is a godless ideology that, within a period of only 60 years, created modern totalitarianism and deprived of human rights, tortured, starved, and killed more people than any other ideology in history.
Just the facts.
Dennis Prager says, let me lay out the facts. He says, but before I do, I need to address another question.
Yeah.
Why is it important that everyone know what communism did? Dennis Prager gives three reasons. He says, here are the three reasons. First, we have a moral obligation to the victims not to forget them.
Yep.
Just as Americans have a moral obligation to remember the victims of American slavery, we have the same obligation to the billion victims of communism, especially the 100 million who were murdered. Second, the best way to prevent an evil from reoccurring is to confront it in all its horror. The fact that many people today, especially young people, believe communism is a viable, even morally superior option for modern societies proves they know nothing about communism's moral record. Therefore, they do not properly fear communism, which means this evil could happen again. And why could it happen again?
Yep.
This brings us to the third reason. The leaders of communist regimes and the vast number of people who helped those leaders torture, enslave, and murder, plus the many more people who reported on their neighbors for saying something objectionable to the communists, were nearly all normal people. Of course, some were psychopaths, but most were not, which proves that any society, including free ones like ours, can devolve into communism or some analogous evil. And why can that happen? Here's my take.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do, Terry, is take off the leaders and the sheeple will follow. That's what the Bible says. Just strike the shepherds and the sheep will scatter.
And Jesse, one other reason this can happen is when we have a godless society. When you take God out of the equation, man goes to his lower nature. And Jesse, here's some facts. According to this black book of communism written by six French scholars published in the United States by, Harvard University Press, the number of people murdered, not people killed in combat, making that, distinction, just ordinary civilians trying to live their lives by communist regimes. Now, put your seatbelt on because this is the fruit, the bad fruit of communism. Just in Latin America, 150,000. Vietnam, 1 million. Eastern Europe, 1 million. Ethiopia, 1.5 million. North Korea, 2 million. It just keeps going on, Jess. Cambodia, 2 million. Here's a big one. The Soviet Union, 20 million? Many scholars believe the number was considerably higher. And then, of course, China has a record, 65 million. These numbers are quite conservative. For example, we've read, I know I have, about the Ukraine alone. The Soviet regime and its Ukrainian communist parties, they helped starve 5 to 6 million people to death just in a two-year period. You know, Jesse, it's almost inconceivable that only 14 to 15 million other Soviet endured hundreds of millions of people who were not murdered. The systematic stripping of people's rights, that's the fruit, the bad fruit of communism. To speak freely, worship, to start a business, or even to travel without party permission. Non-communist people in the media, nearly poverty for all the communist countries. Yes, where is it? Show me a country that it's worked. Imprisonment. Look at China. Look at the imprisonment that's going on there. A million people are being tortured. Nobody says a word. And the trauma suffered by the hundreds of millions of friends and relatives of the murdered and imprisoned. Yes, communism is evil.
This is Prager's writing this article because he's warning us. Because that's what he got in his degree in
University. He spoke Russian too.
Yeah, he studied Russian communism. Right. That's what his degree's from. So he's steeped in this thought.
Oh yeah.
And he's warning us that it's here at our doorstep.
Yep.
And it only makes sense. Dennis Prager's not Catholic, but what he's saying comports with Our Lady of Fatima's promises and consequences for failing to keep the Fatima promises. What are they? Russia will spread her errors. What are the three errors of Russia that she will spread if we fail to keep the Fatima promise, lay people and popes? The errors are the spread of atheism. Check that box off.
Yep.
The spread of abortion. Check that box off. And the spread of communism. Check that box off. Because we have failed as a church. I'm talking about from top to bottom and bottom to top. To keep the Fatima message and Fatima promises, we are now have communism not at the doorstep. It's already in. You already have several people that are in the Democrat Party that call themselves, they don't call themselves Democrats. They say we're Democrat Socialists of America, DSA. They're already part of the Democrat Party. Again, don't be fooled. Father Mitch Pacwa said in the video, the Wolf of Sheep's Clothing, he says, don't be fooled, Catholics. The word socialist is simply another code word for communist.
Jesse, let me ask you a good question. I think I have the answer, but let you explain a little bit. The age of entitlement, where people get free money, free benefits for doing absolutely nothing, doesn't that set the stage for people to say, hey, socialism, communism, I don't have to go to work. They're going to fill my tank with gas, as the lady said when Obama was around. You think that might have something to do with setting the stage for communism and having people being open to it?
Oh yeah, that's why you have all the young people working for the Democrats today, which is basically the Communist Party of America today. They have an army of young people working for them,
yeah.
In colleges, universities, on using all the social media. You have the militant wing. You got Antifa. You got Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You got Occupy Wall Street. So, yeah, they do got the young people, because I'll tell you, one of the things that they've done is they've burdened these young people with college debt. So these young people that want to go to these, you know, high-end colleges and end up coming after 4 years, after renting apartments and doing everything else, coming out with an $100,000 to $200,000 college bill. And you have the Democrat Party saying, guess what? One of the things that we'll do is we'll wipe out all your debt. Boy, oh, boy, you got these kids saying, sign me up,
yeah.
Because it appeals to their lower nature.
Yeah.
It appeals to that entitlement nature, that gimme, 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 this is freebie. It's difficult to beat the party of Santa Claus. It's almost impossible to beat them.
Yeah. Jesse, another question from your police background. With all the riots that went on this past summer, and it seemed like, especially up in Seattle, they actually blocked off a section, as you know, of Seattle and said it's no longer part of the United States. This is our zone. Do you think that by not coming down hard on these thugs, I'll call them affectionately, that also sets the stage for communism and socialism to come in?
It absolutely does, because in law enforcement, they teach you, there's a theory, mm-hmm. in criminal justice that makes sense, because I've seen it, every cop has seen it. It's called the broken window in the neighborhood theory.
Yeah.
And what that means is that if a bad guy, if a punk, if some vandal breaks a neighbor in a neighborhood where everything's ordered in the neighborhood, there's no vandalism, no graffiti, everything's intact, but somebody breaks a big window in the neighborhood now, like say of a building, okay, mm-hmm. of a Walmart. If we just leave that broken window, maybe board it up with some duct tape and some wood, yep. but we just leave it like that, mm-hmm. what that tells other thugs and other vandals in the neighborhood that it's okay to break windows, you know, nothing's really going to happen. We'll just put a board and some duct tape and we'll just move on. And so what that does, that invites other people to start breaking other windows in the neighborhood.
Got it.
So psychologists and psychiatrists have said that's what happens in the neighborhood when law enforcement stops enforcing the law because their hands are there, because they're handcuffed and because they're micromanaged. So now law enforcement guy is going to say that guy, you know, Flip Wilson, he sells dope on the street in that corner every day. But you know what? I'm not going to do nothing to him because people are going to take out a camera. He's black. They're going to say that I used excessive force, that I talked down to him. So you know what? I'm going to stay in my cruiser and just going to cruise by him. I'm going to let him sell dope to the kids in the neighborhood because I don't need the headache. I don't need to be in the 6 o'clock news. I don't need all these cameras to come out and start saying you're a white cop. That's, you know, you're a racist and you're arresting a black person just because he's black. And so, Terry, this is exactly,
I get it.
They're using this against law enforcement. The Biden government right now has weaponized the young people against law enforcement and making law enforcement look like the villains.
Yeah, that's what I figured, Jesse, and I just wanted to verify that. But that's the gut feeling we all have about this. Now, when we come back from the break, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about the COVID vaccine and about being forced to take it. I know in Israel, you can't fly anywhere without getting a click on your passport that shows that you've been given the vaccine. Also, I'm going to just mention kind of an interesting story, Jess. A Dutch nursing home where 2/3 of the residents test positive, and it was after they took the COVID vaccination. Just an interesting story. Again, how well is that really going to keep you from getting something that maybe 99.8% of the people will survive anyway? It just seems to me that that's a story we wouldn't want to get out of the cat's box. We were happy,
Terry,
to do that.
Also, something interesting. I'll mention it at the next segment.
Yeah, hit me.
Yeah, what the Pope picked his purse of his doctor.
Yeah.
Whoa, his doctor is saying something that debunks all these COVID alarmists.
Yeah,
wait to hear what
that.
He says.
That's a big teaser for you, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for all your support here at Virgin Most Powerful. Go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, if you'd like to help us with a donation. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 69, verse 2. A good prayer to be prayed throughout the day. Terry, this article just basically says it all here. Can you be forced to take the jab, COVID vaccine?
Yeah.
In short, no. Federal law requires an opt-out provision for medical products available under emergency authorization. I've been saying that since day one.
Absolutely.
They can't force you. Both of the COVID-19 vaccines currently available in the U.S. were created through Operation Warp Speed, President Trump's program to accelerate the development and distribution of the COVID-19 vaccines. And by the way, he was just a victim of medical malpractice, basically information from Fauci. He just did what the doctors told him to. The program relied on the FDA granting of emergency use authorization, which is permitted under the Public Health Services Act. The act specifies that individuals who receive medical products authorized for emergency use be made aware of the following. First bullet, the significant known and potential benefits and risks of such use and of the extent to which such benefits and risks are unknown. Second bullet, the option to accept or refuse administration of the product. The right of a refusal is essential. Since the vaccine was developed and tested in less than a year, and the full spectrum of potential side effects remains unknown. That's why my comment, Newsmax, quite accurately reported that President Trump is a victim of malpractice by medical advisors. They gave him bad information. But the article says, in spite of the clear language of the law, counties and hospitals across the U.S. are mandating the vaccine for first responders and healthcare workers. I got two boys that are young cops. They're both will quit if their departments tell them that they have to get jabbed. They both will walk out and quit, and they'll figure out another way to make a living. So many people have reservations about the vaccine, in part because of the use of HEK-293 fetal cell lines derived from research on aborted babies in the 1970s. The HEK-293 cell line is one of the most commonly used cell lines in medical research and pharmaceutical development. The vaccines currently available in the U.S. are manufactured by Pfizer and Moderna. Both companies use the same technologies to immunize against the coronavirus. Real technical language, I won't get into that. Yeah. So it should be noted that the cell line was not used to manufacture the vaccine, and it's not accurate to say that the current vaccines are equivalent to being injected with the cells of aborted babies. However, some people object to the use of aborted fetal cell lines in any phase.
That's me.
That's me too. That's Bishop Strickland. In any phase of the production of the vaccine, including testing. Here's my comment. Yes, most people that have a well-formed moral conscience based on the Word of God object to any testing being done with aborted cells. Terry?
And Jesse, not only that, the Holy Father in Vatican has put out in February a statement calling for this experimental vaccine to be given to all of its employees and as a way to help with public health. So the people that are going on the plane with him on his trips, they can't get on the plane without being vaccinated. And I think just what is happening, I mentioned Israel. I got the article on LifeSite that you can't even travel in Israel without having it on your passport that you've been vaccinated. So, Jess, you might be able to say, yeah, you're not forced to do it, but hey, brother, try and get gas at the gas station. Try and go to the grocery store. Try and go to church. If all of this is being pushed on us as, oh, you have freedom. We just want you, but you just can't do anything except stay in your house and not go anywhere. You want to do that? That's fine. I call that pressuring, and I call that wrong.
Well, that's exactly what they're going to do to everybody that's saying that they're not going to take it.
Exactly.
They're just going to make it so uncomfortable. It's going to be like basically you're just going to be locked up at your house. You can't do anything. And I'll tell you, Terry, that's not good for you, because even the Pope's personal physician, Dr. Fabrizio Sicorsi, who's, again, he's the Pope's personal physician, he's basically at odds with Fauci and at odds with the WHO. He's saying that this is COVID-19 because it's a normal disease.
Yeah.
He says practically only exclusively old people are dying. Dr. Bernabe says, the Pope's doctor, the average age of the victims exceeds 80 years old.
Yeah.
And they have already other pathologies. The good doctor is saying it's not good to stay at home. He goes, staying at home is harmful, as is the virus. He goes, if you stay at home, he goes, it atrophies your muscles.
Yep.
He says, you lose your lean muscle mass. He says, it's lethal, because being old means being without muscles. So if you take away movement from the elderly, Dr. Bernabe says, it's dangerous. He says, we must continue to keep the elderly outside of their homes, not in hospital.
Yeah.
He said, and the new pontiff, the new physician for the Pope, he says, very, very, very few people die of this. They already have other comorbidities.
Yes.
He says the disease doesn't target, per se, old people. He says there's a lot of fear-mongering. There's relentless fear-mongering.
Said.
The newspapers, the TVs are using fear-mongering by putting, oh, this many people died. He goes, they're sensationalizing all of this. The media's overblowing this. And And so this Dr. Bernabe, Terry, he's saying that the emergency rooms are full because of the false alarm. He says doctors are overreacting because, again, they're hearing the media over and over speaking the same narrative. And so this doctor saying lockdowns are not the solution. On the contrary, it's worse. Yeah. It's worse. So, again, the Vatican doctor, Dr. Bernabe, has said that he disagrees with the lockdowns. He says that's not the solution. It appears to be worse. We need to get out. We need to move around. We need exercise. And there's a voice of common sense coming out of the Vatican.
Absolutely. And Jesse, we've been saying that for a year now. We never bought into this, and I won't buy into it, because I know that the collateral damage is far worse than the COVID-19. And again, Jess, let's repeat this. We have what we call a herd immunity. When more people get this virus, then once at a certain point, 50, 60% of the population, we beat it. And so what we're trying to do is overreact to something that 99.8% of the people are going to survive. So we shut our schools down. We shut our businesses down. People lose their homes. Suicide rate is up. We've talked about this for a year. So here's my question, Jess. I know I'm not on YouTube right now. I'm going to say it because I can't say this on Monday. I'm going to be honest. I think a lot of this had to deal with President Trump. Okay, Jess, I mean, why else? We had the greatest economy a year ago, and this is the only thing that would stop President Trump from being reelected. Okay, I'm not going to say it again, but I'm going to say it right again. I believe that that has a lot to do with this virus.
On Monday, we'll have to say President T. Yeah. President T. That's what we'll have to say on Monday. And whenever we, on Mondays, when we want to say steal the election, we're going to have to say seventh commandment the election.
Yeah, we got to be so careful because we've got over 30,000 people following us on YouTube. We want to stay on YouTube, folks, because a lot of you are, we're reaching 500 to 1,000 new people every week on YouTube.
So we're going to have to use code words on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, starting Monday also, we're going to move to new music, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because number one, we're in a time of Lent, and so our bumper music has to really reflect the Lenten piety. Number two, we're going to be bringing in war music, and I'm going to tell you, all those crusaders who have died and are in heaven right now, as they hear our bumper music on Monday, they're going to say, "Yep, that's the music that we walked out in battle for 800 years to fight the Muslims and defeated them," and so we're going to start playing, because this is a time of war.
That's right.
We are at war right now. So starting Monday, our bumpers are going to reflect Crusader war music every single intro, because at least for the next 4 years, we will be at war. So we need to even invoke the music of the angels and saints in heaven just to give Terry and myself that extra grace so that we can fight the good fight and do a good program every single day.
And if you're out there with high-tech technology to help us get our message out, give me a call on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, because we have to buy some equipment. We have to buy whatever it takes. We're going to ask our supporters to finance this, because we're not going to take this sitting down. We are going to fight the good fight until it's over. And I will ask you, our listener, how to fight a good fight. First of all, you need spirituality, because without that, you got nothing. And that's why I continue to talk about the five stones of King David. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, the five stones of King. Hey, Terry, and also one thing, things could be a lot worse. So just remember, things are worse for Catholics than another part of the world. So,
that's right.
You know, let's get some perspective on this.
Head.
Yeah, we got food on our table.
Yeah.
And things could be worse. I'll tell you, over in China, you know what they're doing in China now for this this coronavirus? Talk about invasive. They're doing now anal testing in China. Okay? So there's booths that you got to go into. Can you imagine? Anal. And they get a Q-tip. I just can't imagine that. This is how crazy it's gone. So thanks be to God that we're not communist China yet, because Again, I'm going to have to be put in jail because I'm not going to submit to none of this stuff. So the five stones, pray your rosary every day. Simple. Two, read your Bible every day. Okay? I just quote a St. John Bosco. Check, check. Number three, try to go to Mass as often as possible. Number four, remember that we're in a time of Lent. Find any opportunity, especially today on Fridays, to do penance. Find any opportunity to do penance and offer that penance up to God for the salvation of souls and the conversion of sinners. And finally, live in a state of grace. Yeah. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. If you're in a state of mortal sin, get to confession ASAP. Terry, take it away.
When we come back with the Bible with the Barbers after this show, and in just the 2 minutes, we're going to have this world biblical view that I think is going to be very important for all of our listeners to hear. So if you can't get this on their AM station, go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Download our app. We'd love to hear from you. And Jesse, final thought, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And as St. Peter says, flee this corrupt generation.
Right. Yep. Okay. Bible with the Barbers up next on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you. And